Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're so encouraged that you have joined us. VFNTV truly is a network that God is building through your love gifts and our sponsors as we go together to find out what is the truth. It's not enough to know the news. We need to know what to do with the news that we know. And it's amazing, you know, what we're finding out on this journey. Did you know that Jesus called us all as Christians to go into all the world and to make disciples of nations? I was speaking recently to Kamal Saleem of Qum Ministries, and he talked about that as he was used to be part of a Muslim Brotherhood, by the way. Now he's a Christian. He found Jesus, and he renounced all that part of his life. But he said that they were focused, as the Muslim Brotherhood, as Islamic radical jihadists, they were focused on the seven mountains of culture. They literally were focused on seven mountains of discipling nations. They were wanting to take nations in regards to family, education, government, arts and entertainment, media, business, and all these different areas. But in America and the world, it seems like we've totally allowed the world just to kind of tuck us away, or maybe we tucked ourselves away. I mean, for years, a song was singing, right? Take the whole world, but give me Jesus. And it's like Lucifer took us up on the offer. And Jesus has called us to make disciples. I love what this pastor in Britain was just on, this British pastor that was on TBN, and how he spoke about what we're called to do in the church. As a matter of fact, listen up.
People often say to me, they say, "Jay John, you know, what do you do?" It's always very difficult to know what to say. Because if I say to you that I'm a reverend, which I am, that conjures up certain images in people's minds as to what I might be. So I like to be a little bit creative in telling people what I do. I sat next to this lady on an aeroplane at Heathrow Airport, and I said, "Hello." And she said, "Well, hello." And I said, "Where are you going?" And she says, "I'm going to Singapore." Then she said to me, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to Australia." I said, "What do you do?" So she told me. Then she said, "What do you do?" And I said, "Well, I work for a global enterprise." She said, "Do you?" I said, "Yes, I do." I said, "We've got outlets in nearly every country of the world." She said, "Have you?" I said, "Yes, we have." I said, "We've got hospitals and hospices and homeless shelters." I said, "We do marriage work. We've got orphanages. We've got feeding programs, educational programs." I said, "We do all sorts of justice and reconciliation things." I said, "Basically, we look after people from birth to death, and we deal in the area of behavioral alteration." She went, "Wow!" And it was so loud, her wow, loads of people turned around and looked at us. She says, "What's it called?" I said, "It's called the church." Really, isn't it? If we are a follower of Jesus, wow, then we are part of a global enterprise. But not only is it global, it's intergalactic, because it includes everyone that's gone before us.
Wow.
This is so important. I love that. It was kind of humorous, but it's true. I mean, when Bill Bright, the founder of Christ for the Nations, he realized, I mean, here he's been working on making disciples for so long, you know, and just realizing what it took, and the Lord revealed to him at one particular point that, you know, there's like seven spheres, if you would, of culture. There's such a significant part that we refer to them, and other people refer to them as mountains. And if you can take these particular spheres, these mountains, whoever's at the top of these mountains or have the greatest influence in those mountains determines which way that nation goes. And if God has called us to disciple nations, we are so much more than just this building. We're so much more than a few songs and You know, God has created everything. He's created the universe and the earth, and He's created business. He's created the arts, and He created all these things, but what have we been doing with them? I mean, how many people have been just walking, you know, to church gatherings on a Sunday for 45 minutes, and that's the only time they really think about God. It's the only time they think about prayer. It's the only time they think about, and they really do really well in that 45 minutes or 50 minutes or maybe, I don't know, just that. But when they walk away from that, they just try to figure out, God, how, they're trying to figure how to live their life out. How do you be married? How do your family function? How do you parent? How do you do business? I mean, is it okay for me to watch this kind of entertainment versus that kind of entertainment? Or, I mean, all these different things. And it's like, this pastor did a real good job of describing what we call the seven mountains of culture. And right now, we have, in the world right now, is described as Islam has is approximately 80% political and 20% religion, according to Kamal Saleem, a former member of the Muslim Brotherhood and radical jihadist that's now actually a Christian of Qum Ministries. And so their focus is to change, to take over the culture. I mean, of all the things that Jesus heard when he went out to spend time with the Father to adjust how he was going to walk out his ministry. Remember, he spent 40 days of prayer and fasting in the wilderness. Of all the people to show up, Lucifer showed up. Satan showed up and tempted him. And you know what he said to him? He said, listen, I have all these mountains of culture. I have all these kingdoms. If you bow down and worship me, I'll give them to you. And of course, he says, you know, get away from me. No, I don't think so. I'm going to worship the Lord, the Father only. But think about this. But yet, when he called us, when Jesus called us as his disciples and sent us out, he said, go make disciples of the nations. He called us to go make disciples of the nations. That's what he wants us to do. And if anything that we're, that's this, like, you think about, there's like four basic ordinances in the church when you think about it. As a believer, not a building, I'm not talking about a building, but one is that we need to be water baptized. You know, we need to follow Jesus in through water baptism. I mean, it doesn't save you, you know, but you're in walking in obedience. Secondly, you know, we need to take communion in remembrance of him. You know, he said he broke bread with the disciples, and he said, this is my body broken for you, and this is the wine, this is the blood of the new covenant. And the next thing he said, make disciples. We're actually supposed to be his disciple. And a disciple, Jesus said, let me tell you who really is a disciple. He's talking to the Jews there. He says, a true disciple of me is one that actually knows my teachings and follows them. So you actually have to know his teachings and follow him. And the last ordinance, he really says, he says, go make disciples. Make disciples of the nations. And when you think about God, you know, we want to do church. How many people just focus like, man, we did church. It was so good. Let's come back next week and let's do church again. But God wants you to go make disciples in your business, in the business mountain of culture, in the arts and entertainment, you know, in media, in education, in the family. I mean, we got to begin to wake up and say, go into all the world and tell them this awesome news. We got to quit giving up. Mankind giving up these mountains to the adversary, and we're going to get corralled up in some camp somewhere if we don't wake up until we finally say, dear Lord, I'm going to obey you. I am going to go make disciples of the nation. So you think about it. What does that mean? Well, you know, wherever you're gathering at, whoever is in your church with you, you know, talk about it. Is there anybody teaching you the teachings of Jesus? I mean, you hear about, you know, the people are arguing what the Quran says with Islam, and they're arguing about, hey, we want the Ten Commandments up in the courts in these different schools. But if you ask them the question, do you even know what the Ten Commandments are? Most of them won't even know what they are. They're just saying, that's a great idea. A lot of people are arguing against, you know, what the Quran says or what other books say. But they're saying, you know, I'm for God, but you ask them what the Bible says, and they won't even tell you because they don't, you know, according to George Barna, some statistics out there that says 81% of Christians in America don't ever pick up a Bible of all. I mean, everybody's almost got one, but they don't pick it up at all. And the ones that do, only 3% of that 19% actually do what it says. And so it's not, you can look at that as a negative thing, or you can look at it as a positive thing and say, you know what, now I know what I need to do. I need to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I need to show up in my workplace. I need to show up at the school system. I need to show up in the government. And I can say, you know what, I am supposed to be light in the midst of all this darkness. I'm supposed to bring hope. And we're going to talk about that, and specifically in regards to being an American Christian, that you think about this. It's a government by the people and for the people, and we need to know how the government works because we are Josiah, like King Josiah in Israel. He was king. He could determine which way that country went, if Israel was going to go with God or away from God. But when he read the Word of God, and he hadn't read the Word of God, it was kept from him by, you know, God's people, the priest of those days. But when he sent somebody to go clean out this temple, guess what they found? They found the scriptures. He had someone read it to them. When they read it to him, he realized, man, we have sinned against God. God is angry with us. And he repented and he changed everything. Even though God was going to bring destruction on Israel, God said, listen, you're the greatest king that's ever lived before you or after you. Josiah, I'm telling you, I'm not going to bring this disaster on you. We're going to talk about that at this break because you are Josiah. It's a government by the people and for the people, which means in America, we're the ones that determine who's going to lead us, which means we got to start making different choices, but we don't need to make that in our own strength. We got to begin to seek the Lord, cry out to the Lord, ask the Lord to forgive us where we may have gone astray and say, God, I want to be involved in the leadership. You've called me and established me in this nation to be a leader. You know, you have this YOLO, you know, you only live once. Let me tell you something, America. You only lead once. It's time for us to lead under the leadership of Jesus Christ in all seven mountains. Welcome back. When you think about, you know, Josiah, King Josiah, you know, this is what the Word of God says in the book of Romans, I believe he says that, you know, it was written to teach us and to encourage us through the encouragement of scriptures. In other words, you can look at someone's life and you can gain a lot. Speaking of that, just so you know out there, I want to tell you right up front, we're very excited about VFN's internship beginning.
Yes.
If you're interested, we have people that are interested in internships. You want to contact, go to VFNTV.com and let them know. But we have internships that are starting. The classes are starting soon. And you can learn from others. And what we're looking for is those who really want to know. We're looking for someone to pour our life into, ones that know that God has called them, but they need to know what the previous generation, what God has said, so that you walk around in a double portion of that. Yes, there's high expectancy for those who choose to be an intern, but guess what? That we plan to really lavish
That's right.
those who say, yes, we're going to just pour everything we can because we believe that there's a generation rising up that we want to pass the baton to you. And all you have to do is contact us and let us know. There's so much more we're going to be telling you about that. But you think about Josiah. We can read about King Josiah, and we could walk through a biblical internship with him by learning from his life. And everything was just wasted. I mean, it was over. It was so over that Babylon, you could hear them, you could hear their bands from their high school over the corner of the mountain in the nighttime. That's how close destruction was to Israel because they're about to go into Babylonian captivity. But Josiah, he didn't even know it. He had not even a clue that this was going to happen. He didn't have a clue at all. But there's people that were religious who became familiar with God who knew it at one time, but they bought into the fact that it doesn't matter anymore. You know, like this Ron Ball that's talking about the Bible is irrelevant anymore.
Bell, yeah.
Ron Bell, you know, and they just didn't think it was relevant anymore.
Isn't that the slippery slope that always begins with when you become familiar with God and you think you've
it's
got it?
It's a fatal price. Ask Miriam.
You're done.
Yeah, ask
you're
Miriam.
Done.
It's so interesting. And this deceptive thing is, it's real interesting. The more familiar you become with God, the enemy convinces you you're smarter and more intelligent. So he's like, you're more confident in your ignorance. You know, he's like, it's crazy how it works. This is what John Bevere said in his book, The Fear of the Lord. The longer we're deceived, the thicker the veil gets and the harder it is to convince someone that they're deceived. And deception is what you think you're doing is right when you're dead wrong, which it calls all of us to humble ourselves and cry out to God and say, God, remove any deception in my life. Mm-hmm. And so with King Josiah, he was king, started at a young age as king, chosen by God. Going totally wrong, but you know why he was going wrong? You know why he was lost in his car driving around, if you use the analogy?
because he didn't have a map. God's people, his teachers, that God put down there to be able to tell people the map, the Bible, the scriptures, they didn't let him have it. They didn't bring it out.
Mm-hmm.
God just touched his heart. And this is what God does. I mean, you think about that, how this worked. All of a sudden, this man who didn't understand all these things was honoring God the best way he knew. I said, let's go clean up that storage building down there that those religious people were hanging out at. Right?
That's right.
The temple. Let's go clean it up. As a matter of fact, I saw how those guys handle finances, so don't even give it to them.
Mm-mm.
Give it to the carpenters and the ones that work hard and have them go down there. Just think about that.
They'll know what to do.
Couldn't even trust them with the money. Couldn't even trust them with the money. That should have enough to go, listen, we're wrong, God.
Yeah.
I mean, God gives the money to the brick mason and the wood carpenter to be able to fix up the temple because they knew if they would have given it. He knew if I would give it to the if you're hiding the word from God's people, you know what you're doing with the money.
Hmm.
And of all the things, by the way, of all the things that this man who got in a car accident, a pastor who got in a car accident in Africa and he died and he went to hell and he saw the flames of hell and he saw in the fires, he saw ministers in hell screaming this out. Give the money back.
Mm.
I mean, think of all the things that you could be saying. They're screaming at him, give the money back. And he came back into his body and he gave the testimony. And so it matters what you do with what's God's as Achan. And so Josiah, the king Josiah, just, and he doesn't know yet. He hasn't read the scriptures. So he sends some guys down to be able to take care of the temple, fix it up, you know, put a paint job, trim it up, get it going looking good. Cause he didn't have the scriptures to be able to know what it's supposed to even look like. So here comes these people who are not in control of the money, who are in control of the money. The religious people are no longer in control of it, who are have access now to all this stuff that supposedly they were properly having access to. And the leaders, the religious folks, became very nervous. They became very nervous because they knew that these guys were going to come in and see the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So nervous, they started digging through this back pile in the back, and all of a sudden they pull out the scriptures.
Hmm.
And they walk out, John, they walked out of the temple. I mean, they wouldn't have known it outside of Josiah sending somebody down to clean this place up. And if you would have actually given them the money instead of the carpenters, that place never would have been fixed up and the guy would have had a bigger house or something. Anyway, or a bigger watch.
Yeah,
you got a big
too.
Watch on. Anyway, so, right. And so.
Pat gave them it.
It matches his big car. Yeah, it's a $25 watch. Anyway, so the, So he's going there, and imagine today, just picture this. So you have these carpenters. I mean, you got these rugged dudes, rough hand looking dudes. They got their belts on and their carpenter belts, their hammers swinging down there, and their nails. And you have the brick masons coming, big strong brick masons coming to your church building, and they're going, "We're going to fix this thing up." And you know you've been lying.
Mm.
You know you've been holding back the truth. You have not been having integrity with God's things. And the truth's going to be found out. Well, this is what they did. They ran in the back, dug out the scriptures, and they come outside and they go, look what we found.
Look at here.
We got scriptures. Listen, let me tell you something. It's being hid from America right now.
Mm.
81% have been convinced that God's word's irrelevant. 81% of Christians in America, because they're not even picking it up. You have it, but you're not even picking it up. So we're in those days. And so Josiah finds out, hey, there's a book. There's a book. And so he has his secretary go and read it to him. And the secretary begins to read the scriptures and he finds out. He doesn't know this until he reads the word. But once he reads the word, this is when he finds out, John, he finds out that God's angry with us. Now, he didn't know that God was angry. He thought, you know, this is just what happens. You know, war just happens and radical Islam just tries to come in and that, you know,
it's just like
these economies just come and go, the ebb and flow of economies. And, you know, marriages always change. And, you know, it's always like there's all these explanations. But once the scriptures are read, you find out God's totally in control. And this is what happens when we turn away from God. And he immediately knew from reading the Bible, if you would, the scriptures, he knew that God was angry.
Mm.
You know what's going to happen when you read your Bible? You're going to find out God's pretty upset right now. He loves you, but he's very upset. And there's eternal consequences for the outcome of this thing. Because he was king, In other words, he had total authority. He immediately repented himself publicly. Before he first said, I've sinned. You know, I've done wrong. And then he came out before the people and he repented before them. But he also told them, because he was king, he could do this. He could say, you better repent. You know what I'm saying? I'm king. You better repent. Because he had that authority. He was king. And so then he said, you know what? We're going to knock down some of these, all of these idols and all these false gods and all this radical whoever's. We're going to take it all down and we're going to move it out of this country because we're going to honor God and God. But he could do that because he was king. I mean, if you're not king and you have some, you know, foreign god king over your nation and you start doing that, God may be pleased with you, but you might not last long. Ask Gideon. Mm-hmm. And so he could do it because he was king. And all of a sudden, you know what God did? God said, listen, Josiah, I have never seen a king before you or after you. This is great as you. What did he do? He read the word. He understood it was God's word. He applied it to his life. He responded to God through repentance. And whatever he had authority over, he took authority over it. Now, he happened to have authority over the whole nation. And God said, you're awesome. And the destruction that he intended for Israel. Hello, Israel! Do you really think God, it has America's trumped Israel here or something? That Israel, America can't be destroyed? Do you really think that when God was going to destroy Israel? But because of Josiah, he said, listen, it ain't going to happen. You know, it's not going to happen in your generation. And this is what he said. He put a pause on it. Why? Because the one in authority said, his name was Josiah, King Josiah. He said, you know, we're going to serve God. We're going to repent. We're going to do what's right. As for me and my house and everything I have authority over, that's how it's going to be. And think again, the king of the universe, God said, I have never seen in all ever a greater king than Josiah. That's powerful. Now you think about this. You go, well, he was king. He could do that. Well, let me tell you something, Josiah. Let me tell you who's Josiah in America. I'm going to read to you the Constitution. You need to get a pocket Constitution, and you need to read it. Get a paper copy of it, too, because you might have the digital version suddenly. The preamble of the Constitution says this. This is the first part of the Constitution. It says, we, the people, in other words, we, Josiah, right? Mm-hmm. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice and ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty for ourselves and our posterity, do and ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States. So the people in America are Josiah. And we get back, we're going to read from the Declaration of Independence how begins to explain that the government derives its power from the people. So when you look at America right now, let me explain America, because it's been opposite. They've been trying to change this in everybody's mind, but it's not changed in the heart of God. God knows that you're Josiah. The government is ordained by the people. The people are chosen. The governed, which is the people, choose the government. So you can change government. You don't like that government. You can be just like Josiah. You can say, you know what? We don't want abortion here anymore. You can say, we don't want that anymore. We're going to honor God. We're going to go back to our Judeo-Christian values. You can do that, Josiah.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.